Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Centerpoint Podcast. My name's Billy.
And I'm Lo.
And I'm Sam.
And we're here just hanging out with you, hopefully trying to do our best to point you to Jesus Christ and His Word. And in the process, really just have a good time and interact with God's Word and each other.
So this is an important podcast for us. You realize this, right?
It is indeed.
This will be our last podcast of the summer.
Oh, of the summer.
Okay. So it's not the last one, but it is the last for the summer. We're going to take a little bit of a break after this one and come back. We'll just say right now, at the end of the summer.
Yeah, at the end of summer. You know, we don't have a specific date in mind. But roughly when things start settling down and then, you know, maybe school begins or the fall starts happening and stuff. So we'll come back in and re-energized. And that kind of that brings up something that I'd like to ask you all, if you're listening, is for you to email the church email address at centerpointbible@gmail.com. And if you have anything that you're interested in us chatting about or talking about, or a topic from scripture, or just anything you'd like us to reference in podcasts, let us know. And what we'll do is we'll take a look at those and maybe choose a couple of those and be able to just really chat about them. Yep. So I think that'd be a good opportunity for you all to interact with us and maybe steer the podcast in a certain direction that might be more beneficial for you.
So the next time you press play and listen to our podcast after today, it will be 4 to 6 weeks in the future from right now.
Yes, it will.
So let's check your ability to tell the future, Pastor Billy.
Wee!
Okay. So let's ask him some questions, shall we, and see how he does.
Shoot me some questions.
All right.
Yes. B. False.
Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Who will he sign with?
Okay, Kevin Durant is Los Angeles. No, he was Los Angeles. No,
what Golden is he? State Warriors.
Golden State Warrior. Somewhere in California. Golden State Warrior hurt his leg really bad in the finals, but he's a free agent.
Free agent right now.
He's going to go to this new team called the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was actually his old team.
Oh, man. That's a hot take.
Do people think that, Sam? I don't think
not
people
rational
reference
people.
That. No.
No.
A lot of people are saving up money to buy him and buy his contract. So he could be, I don't know. He will be a Washington Wizard because that's my favorite team, and I am fully expecting him to be a Washington Wizard.
Not likely, but in the realm of possibility.
Do you have a thought, Sam?
Yeah, Sam, what do you think?
I think he will go to the Nets with Kyrie Irving, another free agent.
Yes, interesting.
Really?
All right. Let's get off of that.
All right,
okay,
keep going.
Next one. Pastor Billy, USA Women's National Team, will they win the World Cup?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in a couple days, they're going to have a huge competition against France. USA is number one. France is number two. It's the World Cup's happening in France.
Yes or no?
I hate to say this. No.
Oh! Wow.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe it.
She might walk in the room. What's her name?
Megan Rapinoe.
She might walk right in here and tell you something different.
I'm sure she'd speak very kindly to me.
Yes, yes. All right. Let's change the topic, okay?
Okay.
Think the number 190. 190, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In 6 weeks. Will Pastor Billy be over or under?
Poundage? 190?
Yes.
Okay.
So right, a little backstory.
So I weigh a little bit more than 190.
And so do I, and we both want to weigh 190, okay? And we're both a little bit more than that right now,
yes.
Okay? So let's go out. What do you think?
Confidently, yes. I am going to shoot for being 189.9 pounds.
Me too.
Okay.
So I'm going to be
under 190 pounds the next time this podcast gets revealed.
I'm going on the same limb for myself. Okay. So how about you, Sam?
So everybody, we're probably not going to have a podcast for a couple years.
How about you, Sam? 190. Over or under?
For myself or
yeah,
for you guys?
For you.
Oh, God.
Well, it's going to be close. I got about 50 pounds to play with, so barring some accident, I think I'll sneak in under.
Okay, what do you think about us? Do you think Lowell and I will be under 190? Be nice.
My prediction is that at some point in the next 6 weeks, you will be under 190, but by the time the podcast is released, you'll be back over.
Oh, wow. So that's quite an answer.
I think you can get there, but I don't know if you guys can hold it.
All the muscle mass. All my muscle mass will probably.
That was an interesting answer. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and then here's another big question, okay? Centerpoint Bible Church. Where will we be on the Spring Mills Center building? If you're just joining us, we are right now working through the process of potentially purchasing a building in the Spring Mills community. And on TJ Jackson Drive or Lane, I forget
TJ Jackson Drive.
Yes, thank you.
728 TJ Jackson Drive.
There you go. And so what do you think? In 6 weeks, will we have made a purchase as a church?
I believe so. I think so. I think it's all the signs are pointing to it, to us purchasing, and what I think a good name would be the Spring Mills Center.
Mm-hmm.
So Center Point Bible Church meeting at the Spring Mills Center. I believe that we will. We've had a lot of positive, so many positive comments through the walkthrough and through just interaction with people. And people are in the affirmative, and we're voting on it here pretty soon as a church to give that affirmation. And I believe we will. I'm pretty confident. I
feel pretty confident that we will as well. Now, we're holding loosely. We understand that it is God's church, and He has our future in His hand. Mm-hmm. And we totally trust Him, but all signs are looking positive right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we'll move forward, and no matter what, we'll point to Jesus Christ and His Word.
Right, and the emphasis is on pointing people to Jesus Christ and His Word, not having a facility, although a facility will help facilitate that.
Yeah. So are you claiming then to be a prophet? Is that what this is? So as a prophet, you're speaking to Kevin Durant, the USA Women's National Team, the 190 barrier. And are you claiming to be a prophet?
I am claiming to be a prophet.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to?
Let me think about it. No, I am not claiming to be a prophet. So I think we probably should figure out what the word prophet means before I make any further statements that will incriminate me.
Yes. So as we knew that we were going to be taking the next 4 to 6 weeks off, we thought we'd talk for a little bit about biblical prophecy and how we are to read it and understand it and what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
Much of our Bible comes under the label of prophecy. I mean, when I say prophet, biblical prophet, who are some prophets that come to your mind?
I think Jeremiah.
Isaiah.
Any others?
Yeah. Habakkuk.
Okay, that'll work.
Nehemiah.
There you go. Is he one of the prophets? Yeah, he's more of a historical book, but that's okay.
When I think of Nehemiah, I think of someone that gets things done and definitely doesn't mind putting his hands on people to make things get
any
things
other
done.
Prophets?
Let's see.
Malachi.
There you go. All right.
Or Malachi, the Italian prophet.
Yes.
Now, so we have prophets,
Jeremiah,
but
that's
good.
Ezekiel.
So you can stop now.
Daniel.
Yeah. So a lot of us, we look at prophecy, and we think it's all about predicting the future. And we turn into these Old Testament books, and we think, okay, I'm going to figure out the future now.
Right.
And certainly some of the prophetic works do contain information about the future.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that's not the majority.
Yeah, when you say the word prophecy or prophet, my mind immediately goes to someone calling out what's happening down the road, someone making a claim of something that's going to be happening.
And I think that's how most of us probably our knee-jerk reaction to the word prophecy is the prediction of some event. But in reality, a prophet kind of plays two roles. There are times when biblical prophets foretell the future.
Right.
Okay. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem in the book of Micah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, Jesus' crucifixion there is described, really. Mm-hmm. Psalm 22 is a prophetic
Psalm 22 is a very,
psalm.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times the prophets are foretelling the future. But in reality, the majority of the prophetic writings aren't describing the future at all. They're actually describing the present day situation.
Yeah.
The present day.
So based on that information, we can kind of encapsulate the word prophet or a description of a prophet would be a foreteller which is what you're saying about the future, but also a forth teller,
yes.
What's happening currently or just in the recent past.
Yeah, what they do is they speak forth the mind and the counsel of God. And some of that is about the very present day. The most of it is about the present day.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is about the future from when the prophet wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just Old Testament, okay? Can you think of an example from the New Testament where this concept comes up?
Yeah, so in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we see the writer talk about prophecies in chapter 5. So in chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And then in verse 20, he goes on to say, "Do not despise prophecies." So automatically, we think of what kind of prophecies is he talking about? Is he talking about forthtelling, or is he talking about forthtelling?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, is he saying here, is Paul wrote this book to mm-hmm. the church in Thessalonica, and is he saying, okay, there's things going to come in the future, you know, and maybe he was thinking of like the Antichrist and 666 and the return of Jesus. Or is he talking about kind of what we were talking about with forthtelling,
right?
Where writing about the present day. I mean, it's a great question that you're bringing. What's your thought on that, Sam?
Yeah, well, at first glance, you think that you see the word prophecy, and there's not really any descriptors after that, so it's easy to kind of be like, it could be either one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a look at verse 21, and I think that's the key to understanding verse 20, he says, "Do not despise prophecies, but test everything." So I think in the phrase "test everything," we can understand and take it to mean that he is most likely talking about things that are happening now, the forthtelling aspect rather than the foretelling. Foretelling would be things that would happen 10, 20, 100 years down the road, and it would be very difficult to test things that haven't happened yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you take it under the consideration of these are things that are happening in our lives today, it would be a lot easier to test those things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So are you saying then these are things happening that day? Do you mean like, okay, in our world right now would be the lottery number is going to be 3, 4, 9, 7. Is that what you're referring to?
No. Things that I think we need to keep this in the bounds of Scripture. So the things that we are testing are the things that we see. We see God's will revealed in His Word. So these are things that that we have been called to. Things that should be true of us. So I think we need to take these things into consideration with God's Word, and that's what we're testing things by.
Okay, so what you're referring to would be things like don't lie, don't steal.
Right.
And I totally agree with you. I think that if we look at our current society now, we see that there are a lot of wrong takes on what it means to be a prophet and to prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, the Mormons that have a person that's overhead, and they call him the prophet. And so they listen to what he says, and whatever he says, they believe. But you said as long as it's within the bounds of Scripture. I can't remember exactly the phrase you used, but that's 100% correct. We live with understanding prophecy and prophets, whether it be someone in the Bible or our own comments. We live within the box, the boundaries of God's completed written word.
That's right.
And that's where we live in. So other people, you know, even Catholicism with the Pope, you know, they believe what the Pope says. He would say something and they would just believe it. Now, we need to make sure that we live within biblical parameters, because if we do, if we go outside of that, then we really become what's called a cult.
Well, and really what Sam has pointed out to us here, when it says, "Do not despise prophecies," Paul here is talking about to accept God's direction in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So prophecy is not just telling us the future, it's how we're to live right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't to despise that.
Yeah.
We are to go and make disciples.
Yeah.
So despising prophecy would be saying, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's for the pastor to do, or that's for so-and-so to do, because he's really something special. No, we're called to live out the Great Commission. And so to not despise prophecy is to live in submission to God's will or His Word.
I totally agree. And this, and what gives evidence to your comment is just the next verse as well, not only just 5:20. Do not despise prophecies. Test everything. And it says, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Mm. That's present day. That's present day living mm-hmm. that they're engaging in. They can test that. And then the reminder is, abstain from these things that are evil and focus on what is good.
See, God is more, I don't know about more, but God is very concerned about us as his children living today in submission to him, in obedience to him, loving mm-hmm. him right now. And a lot of times people bring up the idea of prophecy. They think, oh, well, that's someday in the future, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, in 6 weeks
right.
when the World Cup would have finished or Kevin Durant would have signed.
Right. For the Wizards.
Yeah, or maybe some details would come together with the purchase of our building, Lord yeah. willing, in the Spring Mills community.
Yeah.
Well, what we need to do after a break, I think, is take a look at maybe an Old Testament prophecy.
Yeah, right now what we've done is we've described a little bit about what prophet is, what prophecy is. We've taken a New Testament look. But I think it'd be good for us to jump into the Old Testament because there's also a lot of confusion of how to read the Old Testament prophecies and how they relate to today. So we'll be right back and we'll talk about the Old Testament prophecies, a specific example of it.
Centerpoint Bible Church exists to point others to Jesus Christ in His Word, and we want to encourage you to come out and visit us sometime. We're presently meeting at Faith Christian Academy. Our service is at 9:30, and our focus hour starts at 11 o'clock. You can get information on our website at centerpointwv.org. Thanks for listening, and we pray that you would seek after Jesus.
Well, hi, thanks for sticking with us, and we're entering our second half of a podcast. We're really just talking about prophecy, and in the last few minutes, you heard us referencing what is a prophet or what is the definition of a prophet. We went to some a New Testament passage that really helped us bring a little bit of light on prophecy and what a prophet, their role is. But I think it'd be good for us to transition back to the Old Testament. Because much prophecy is given in the Old Testament as well as the New, but people seem to zero in on that more so in looking for answers and looking for truth. And what we want to do is help you to take a look at possibly a specific passage. We're going to go to somewhere in Isaiah.
Isaiah 58,
and examine it in a right way of thinking to know how to handle prophecy in the Old Testament.
So typically when you talk about the biblical prophets, you're referring to that section in your Old Testament, okay? And we already referenced some of those. But you have inspired prophets who wrote down what God had revealed to them, okay? And you kind of got five big ones and 12 little ones, the major and the minor. And one of those main of the major is Isaiah. So in Isaiah 58, we'll take a look at that. And the reason why I wanted to grab this one is because it actually references what our topic was on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we were in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about when you fast and gives some correction to those who were fasting in Jesus' day. In Isaiah 58, Isaiah does the exact same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's 700 years before Jesus.
Right, right, right.
But he is correcting how they are living in that very day, because that is actually the majority of the biblical prophets' message, is they proclaim the message of God, you know, truthfully and clearly and authoritatively, actually, might be the best word, to those who are in that present day.
Right.
That's the bulk of what right. biblical prophecy is.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's authoritative word to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah 58 is one of those. We'll just take a minute and look at it, a couple of verses. In verse number 3, what Isaiah records is, Isaiah is now quoting some of the people of his day. He says he's quoting what the religious people are saying in Isaiah's day, and they say, why have we fasted and you see it not? They're talking to God there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? So what are they asking God?
They're saying, we're doing good and you didn't even recognize us.
Exactly. And what is the good that they're doing?
Well, the good that they're saying in this portion is fasting and humility.
Yeah, yeah. So they're saying, we're fasting and God, you're not even doing what...
Yeah.
we thought you would do. Okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are you laughing about?
Jessica's like, I'm humble and everyone should be telling me it. I'm humble and you should be patting me on the back because I'm so humble. It's my greatest quality. I'm very proud of that fact that I'm humble. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. And wow, religious activity slips into that so easily.
Yeah, it does.
It's why Jesus references it in Matthew chapter 6.
Yeah.
He deals with three religious things that we tend to do to get the credit from other people. Praying, giving, fasting. Now, fasting isn't something that we really talk about much in 21st century America.
No, and something you, as you're bringing this up, I'm thinking, okay, so 700 years before Christ, they were talking of fasting. Jesus is talking about fasting. So why do we not speak of fasting now? I don't know if that's something that we would specifically answer right now on this podcast, but it definitely raises a question. And you may even reference it this Sunday in the service,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that might be a future podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's true. I mean,
I've spent a lot really of time talking and thinking and reading about fasting for the last couple mm-hmm. weeks.
Yeah,
and you're right. We can't delve into it too much right now, but something is amiss.
Yeah,
yeah.
Remember, you were telling everybody you were fasting.
No, I was.
You're very
not.
Proud of that.
No. So that's the question they're asking, okay? And then God gives them an answer. He mm-hmm. says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, and you oppress all your workers. Verse 4, behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? That's God asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Mm-hmm. So God is saying your fasting is worthless.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what Isaiah is doing here. This is prophecy, right? But is he predicting anything in the future?
No, he's assessing the current situation in a biblical way, and he's referencing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And God goes on to give more description of what he wants. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, not to hide yourself from your own flesh? See, what God is saying is, I want you to live a certain way. I want you to love people. So this is just an example here of how prophecy works,
mm-hmm.
how God uses the prophet to authoritatively speak into people's lives about the present
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm. And as you just referenced earlier, or at the very beginning of the second half, that it is a majority of what a prophet does is addresses present
yeah.
day issues.
So Sam, if we were to despise this prophecy, if we lived 750 BC mm-hmm. In Isaiah's day, what would despising prophecy look like?
Well, it would be disregarding what Isaiah has talked about here. It would be not living humbly. It would be fasting for the wrong reasons. That would be despising this forthtelling from Isaiah.
Exactly. So this is how we read biblical prophets.
Right.
Okay. I mean, let's walk through that. So how do we apply this to our lives today? What would be the process for us to get to, okay, how do I live this out today?
Are you referencing specifically fasting, or are you in general prophecy?
I mean, we'll use this example to illustrate general prophecy. So we read it. We learn something about God. We learn something about man.
Yeah. I mean, you would read Scripture. You would take Scripture. I often use this analogy of putting on biblical glasses and seeing the world.
Mm-hmm.
So what you would do is you would, Lord willing, you were doing this. A challenge to you is you're opening your Bible, you're reading your Bible, you're reading the Word, and you're taking what you're learning and what you're reading from the Bible, and you're looking at the world around you. So putting this into practicum would be reading God's Word and then seeing what's going on out in the world. And instead of making decisions that the world would choose, you're choosing to live obediently and righteously in the world based on that Scripture.
So the same righteous call that God is calling Isaiah 2.
He's calling to us now.
So
that's
for
exactly
instance,
right.
You know, Isaiah's talking about people who are fasting, but yet they aren't giving bread to the hungry. Well, you might say, so an application might be, you know what? I go to church on Sunday, but I'm not generous with my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think about what they need or what's pressing in their life. I don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And how much that upsets God that I might sing praise songs on Sunday morning.
Right.
I might pray, I might preach sermons. I might fast, but I don't care mm-hmm. about my neighbor.
Well, that brings up another prophecy. I can't remember the passage, but you praise me with your lips, but your heart is not with me.
Yeah, now, that's exactly
it. Is that Malachi?
It. That's exactly what God is referencing.
So yeah. We can't say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We don't need to worry about that. But what we can do, that's why the Old Testament is still vital for us to learn, is going back to those prophecies and saying, you know what, that is true for me today.
Hmm.
Am I doing this? Let me examine my own life to make sure that I am correct and right and living as Jesus lived.
And it continues. Look down at like verse number 11, okay? And the Lord will guide you continually. So basically it says, if you do this, all right, verse 10, if you pour yourself out for the hungry, and it describes, so if you live generously is what loving people and being generous with what mm-hmm. you have towards other people, okay? And you are practicing righteousness. You are giving. You mm-hmm. are praying. You are fasting. You are doing these things that the Jewish people understood God was calling them to. So if you do this, verse number 11, the Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. So what's happening here now? See, now we got to be careful. Do you guys see what Isaiah just did
there,
here?
There definitely is a transition.
There's a transition.
What do you think? What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, well, in the first couple of verses, we see more of foretelling, and this is more of like a foretelling.
Exactly.
F-O-R-E-T-E-L-L.
Yes, no T-H.
Yes. Yeah, that's where this gets difficult, because foretelling is to predict events before they take place.
Mm-hmm.
Foretelling is to authoritatively speak into the lives of the hearers. So what do you see here that's going to the future?
Well, it says he will satisfy your needs. He will satisfy. So it's a future tense. He will satisfy your needs.
And that could be now or in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be in
It could be
years,
in just a few moments when I need to eat lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you see, Sam?
Well, I mean, going down to verse 12, your ruins, ancient ruins shall be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
He shall raise up the foundations of many generations.
Mm-hmm.
He shall be called the repairer of the breach.
Mm. Yeah, restoration, repair, building up, fixing foundations. You know, these are all, although they're all actions, they all seem to be definitely a future tense.
Yeah, because what's happening now is God is telling Isaiah things that he's going to do in fulfilling the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I'm going to raise up you guys, the Jewish people. I'm going to fulfill my promises I made to you. You're going to serve me in Jerusalem. You know, he doesn't mention it here, but that's the streets he's talking about. You know, so what just happened there is, you're right, at verse like 11, we had a switch,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's why you got to be careful how you read. Reading biblical prophecy is very difficult at times.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we have to understand that this is Isaiah speaking to the people of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's saying. This is specific for them, but yet we can learn from it.
Yes.
It's not Isaiah speaking specifically to us of what will happen immediately.
So he's not telling you, Billy, that you will be the restorer. Maybe he's saying that you're going to restore the streets of your neighborhood.
Right.
That you're going to go out there and buy like a new asphalt machine and go out there and fix them. Is that what he's saying?
Right. And he's not saying all you have to do is fast and you're going to get these things.
Okay. Now that's
probably
more
what... There's a big issue with that.
Yeah. That's probably more where people go. Yes.
And I think that's a wrong use of processing through prophecy. And you can see that present day where if you want to incorrectly try to teach this passage, you could say, all you have to do is fast, and all you have to do is be humble, and you know what? You will be like a well-watered garden. You're going to rebuild your ancient. You know that house that burned down? You know that house that broke down? You know what? You humble yourself and fast, it's going to get rebuilt.
It'll be restored.
It'll get rebuilt. It's going to get restored. You know, your dog is going to come back to life. You're going to get your job back. You know, your house is going to be rebuilt. You know, your truck's going to start working again.
Now, and listen, now, God could do many of those things.
But it's like more like a, what is it, name it and claim it?
Yeah.
Name it, claim it view. And it is very dangerous when you start taking scripture, start twisting it, and start giving people a false hope. Because what you do is you give people false hope, and when it doesn't turn true, they say, what else is false? And then they start down the road of denying the sufficiency of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is not of God.
And what's ironic is that if you go to where you just commented that people do, if I fast and humble myself, then my house will be rebuilt and my dog will come back to life and my truck will run again. Right. Okay. Look what you're doing. You're taking this religious activity and you think that you're going to do it, and then God is going to he's going to be obligated to respond and give you what you want. It's exactly what Isaiah said in verse number 3. You see, he says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure.
Yeah.
So what are you seeking there?
Yeah.
I'm going to fast or pray or whatever it is so that I'll get something back.
And that turns from resting on the grace of God to start working and doing things to earn the grace of God.
Yeah.
And we know that that is false.
Yep.
We cannot do anything to earn or do, or we can't fast enough, you know, we can't give enough money, we can't do enough work to earn God's grace, because it's impossible. We must only receive His grace. We're called to receive His grace. It literally becomes work-based.
Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a pastor back in the 1900s, middle of the 20th century, he said that people view fasting and prayer like a penny in the slot. And here's what he means. Picture like a gumball machine, okay? You drop a penny in the slot, you pull the handle, and choo-doop, out you get your little piece of candy, you know? And he said that's how a lot of people view prayer and fasting. And for that matter, a relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I do this thing, and then I've got a magic genie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so here's this. So our whole point is, this is how we are to read biblical prophecy.
Yeah. And stay tuned, because we'll come back here at the end of the summer. And don't forget to send us emails about different ideas or different thoughts you might have. And if you missed anything that we talked about, you can just find it on centerpointwv.org and check the show notes section. Just remember that we're nothing fancy at Centerpoint, but we want to be real just like Jesus is.